The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Well, I'll tell you, Sandy, I don't know how I follow the newscast. You know, we're just talking about boring old money. We don't have knives to people's throats and dog fighting, and
it's
kind of boring.
Yeah, you know, it's not boring when you, like, say, for example, if you didn't have any money, how could you go Black Friday shopping or whatever? What's today? Local business shopping or Cyber Monday shopping, or, you know, it all plays into that. It's all, it actually affects your real life. So, you know.
Yeah, but it's
There's
not
that.
Exciting.
Oh. Well, you make it exciting. I like the fact that you kind of bring it home. You know, you make it relatable, so we can figure out what it all means. Because sometimes it just sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook. Like, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why you're here. To help us make sense
make me
of it
feel
all.
Good.
Yes.
Anyway, good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks, and thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning as we take a look with the markets that closed mixed yesterday. The Dow Jones was up just by the hair on a chinny chin chin, up 17,828. The NASDAQ was up 4 points to close at 4,791, and the S&P 500, well, it bucked the trend and was down 5 points and closed at 2,067. Looking at the other markets, we saw that natural gas was down 26 cents to close at $4.09. Oil, boy, was it something yesterday. Let's talk a little bit about that. We had an OPEC meeting that took place on Thanksgiving Day. And what was the purpose of the meeting was a decision that was going to be made with the surplus of oil that's out there today, mainly due to the United States increase in production through the fracking. Prices have dropped significantly over the past quarter, and they were going to decide if they should have any cuts in production or not. Well, they decided not to. And boy, did we see a devastation in the energy markets yesterday. Big companies like ExxonMobil, for example, or BP or Chevron, we saw 5, 6% declines. We saw big declines in exploration companies as much as 15 or 16% yesterday. I saw a couple of solar companies that were down 18, 20% yesterday in trading. Now, of course, some of that is exaggerated because it was a very light volume day. Monday, I think, is going to be a much better tell as far as what's going on out there. See, one of the problems that you see out there is that Saudi Arabia has the cheapest production cost in the world. Literally, they can make money, you know, when oil is down $20, $30 a barrel. The one thing that we have going for us here in the United States, though, and by the way, the perceived strategy is that with Saudi Arabia and some of the other Middle Eastern countries over there, what they're trying to do is they're trying to play bully to the U.S. companies, and let's just let the prices fall. We'll put some of the companies out of business in the United States, then we'll get supply back in line, prices will go back up, and we'll be able to resume our $100 a barrel oil. Well, the thing that they fail to recognize is that with fracking here in the United States, unlike your traditional oil wells of the past, fracking can pretty much stop on a dime and pick right back up. I mean, if prices go too low, they can stop fracking today. And if prices go back up in a month, they can pick right back up. Production's okay. There's not this wind-down time or this startup time that normally took place with your traditional wells. So this is where they're at the time. Now, countries like Russia, for example, or Iran or Venezuela, well, they have much higher production costs when it comes to getting the oil out of the ground. And they have economies that are very, very dependent upon the oil revenues that come in. So certainly this is going to be an interesting play to watch here when it comes to the prices. Like I said, we did have a big fall. We had West Texas Intermediate that fell $7.50 yesterday to close at $66.15. We saw Brent crude down $2.43, closed at $70.15. Gas futures fell 18 cents to $1.82. And yes, I know the price. I saw $2.69 to $2.72 on the way into the studio today. Those are certainly nice prices. But still, we're paying too much for gas. And here's the reason. There are a lot of places in this country that are currently in the 240s as far as their gas prices are concerned. But let me take you even further back. We're at 4.5-year lows when it comes to what a barrel of oil cost. If we go back 4.5 years and look at what gas prices were in the country, do you realize in 2009, the average gas price for the year was $2.14? And here we are still being charged $2.70 for a gallon of gasoline. Somebody is making money somewhere, because we certainly should be a whole lot lower with the cost of oil being where it is. As we look to some of the other areas, we see gold fell back $22 yesterday, also hurt by these prices, $1,175.50 an ounce. Silver was down $1.05, closed at $15.56. The VIX was up $1.26 to close at $13.33. And in the bond market, we saw the 2-year fall to 0.46%, the 5-year down to 1.48%, the 10-year dropped to 2.16%, and the 30-year is down under 3% to 2.89%. On the economic front, we saw the Commerce Department new home sales reported showed a 0.7% month-over-month increase to a seasonally adjusted rate of 458,000 in October. That was down from a downwardly revised 455,000 in September. Now, the median price of a new home was up 16.5% month-over-month and 15.4% year-over-year at 305,000. We also saw inventories measured in terms of months of supply rose to 5.6 months from 5.5 months in September. And we also saw the National Association of Realtors report showed that pending home sales, which represent contracts signed for sales of existing homes, fell 1.1% month over month in October. Nevertheless, pending home sales are up 2.2% year over year. We saw the Labor Department reported that jobless claims rose to 313,000, breaking that 300,000 mark in the week ending November the 22nd from 292,000 the previous week. We also saw on the economic front, the Commerce Department reported another revision to third quarter GDP. Well, it was upwardly revised to 3.9% from the initial 3.5%. Economists had been expecting a downward revision down to 3.3%. We also saw that personal consumption growth was upwardly revised to 2.2 from 1.8. And we also saw that U.S. consumers' confidence fell unexpectedly in November. It fell from 94.1 reading in October to an 88.7 reading in November. And with that, we've got a plethora of information that we're going to share with you today on today's show. So stick with us. You're listening to Money Talks here in WAKR.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back on this Saturday morning, the 29th day of the month of November. Hope everyone had a nice Thanksgiving this past week. It's always nice to be with family and take a little time out of our busy, well, schedules. And also, as we know, it opens up the Christmas season, Black Friday, I don't know, Gray Thursday, I don't know what they call it. You know, things certainly have gotten a bit confused, but of course, it's all systems go. And of course, the talk on Wall Street is with the oil prices and gas prices being down. Of course, that's a direct link to everybody's pocket and the amount of money that they have to spend. They're looking for an exceptional Christmas time this year, and wanted to kind of share some thoughts to see kind of a few things that we like to discuss each year, because we're all about money. And when it comes to Christmas shopping, of course, it's a time of year where a lot goes on. A lot goes on emotionally. You know, unfortunately, the first thing I'll say is it's sad to see Christmas become so retail, so commercialized. I think for the most part, we miss the actual meaning of what Christmas is sometimes. And instead, it's all about, you know, the anxiety and the stress that's put upon everybody about, you know, getting gifts for, you know, the family members, getting gifts for people you work for, getting gifts for, you know, the stranger down the street. They have all these expectations, you know. And I heard something last week which was very interesting. 60% of the gifts we'll get for people they don't even like. Well, that kind of takes all the fun out of it. You know, you're out there spending all that time in the malls or plazas trying to find the right gift for somebody, and then they don't even appreciate it or want it. But we're going to see, because what happens ultimately is too many people spend too much money, put it on their credit cards. And as we all know, and many of you can attest to this, the money that goes on that credit card for this year's Christmas is usually something that you're still paying for several Christmases down the road. And maybe we can avoid that. And when we look at that, first of all, you're out there shopping. And one of the best pieces of advice that you could be given, I think, is pay cash. If you pay cash for it, you'll spend less money. If you pay cash, it won't go on your credit card. You won't have to pay any interest, and you won't have to worry about the bills that start to come in January. Pay cash. If you're going to use a card, a credit card or a debit card, here's a piece of advice. First of all, if you're going to use a debit card, always hit it as a credit. Don't use it as a debit. One of the main reasons are you pick up some of the safeties associated with credit as opposed to debit. The second thing is you're not putting in that four-digit code. This way, nobody can pick up your code. It's not in anybody's systems. Nobody can see it from behind you. If somebody steals the data from the company, they don't have your four-digit code. Use it as a credit card. The next thing is, how do we spend our money for Christmas? Make a list, first of all. Make a list. Go over it twice, just like Santa does. Make sure that you don't give to those that are naughty, just to those that are nice. A little bit of fun there. But anyway, you want to make sure that you spend your money efficiently. Find sales, find coupons. And, you know, some of the best gifts that people appreciate are actually the ones that are maybe homemade. Something that you knit or sewed, or you have some carpentry experience and you make something. Those are the ones that are generally anybody with any maturity will accept as being very much appreciated. How about, for example, you know, that you give somebody a coupon that says, hey, I'll babysit for you for two times or three times, or I'll take you out to lunch, or, you know, something that can be much less expensive but much more meaningful to somebody. So you don't always have to go out and buy the most expensive gift out there. As we've seen by statistics, they may not even appreciate it to begin with. It probably will end up on a credit card that you'll end up paying for a long time. Spend a little bit of time thinking about it. You don't want to be out 2 days before Christmas buying things at the last minute, spending more money than you should for somebody that may not even appreciate it. Or that if you would have spent a little extra time, maybe could have given them something a little more appreciative. it's that time of year that if you put a little bit of planning into it, you can have a lot less stress and a lot less anxiety. And that's what it's all about. It's about family. It's about, you know, what happened 2,000 years ago. It has a lot deeper meaning than just retail and gifts and packaging and bows. There's a lot more to it, and make it more meaningful. The meaningful ones last longer. They're a lot less stressful, and they certainly are a lot less expensive. And what happens is, I don't want to see anybody out there, particularly the young people, starting out in their early 20s, mid-20s, going overboard on Christmas, and the next thing you know, they live a life full of debt for the next 20 or 30 years, and it all started by trying to buy those Christmas gifts for people that might not even appreciate them. And hopefully this will help. Do it right. Write it down. Check your list. Buy on sale. Pay cash. And don't overdo it. You know, I think a hug is priceless compared to a gift that you bought at a last moment to try and give somebody.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
I guess I fibbed, Sandy. There's no news.
See, now, if you wouldn't have mentioned that, I bet you that just wouldn't, you know, there's people that wouldn't have even noticed. But, yeah, you know, because we switch things up just so, you know, anybody's listening, you might have said, wow, what happened to the news? But we're kind of streamlining the show, and it's a really more of Money Talks, which is what you probably tuned in for this morning. Not that the news isn't good, but we're probably more news at the top of the hour, and then we're talking about money.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
So what else are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I thought usually about this time of day, you have a joke for us.
A joke.
Yes.
Okay.
I wait for this all week. I can barely sleep at night the night before, just thinking I can hardly wait for that joke.
Well, it's about a man who came home from work one day to find his dog with his neighbor's pet rabbit in his mouth. Well, the rabbit was dead and the guy panicked. He was sure the neighbors would demand that his dog be destroyed. So he took the dirty, chewed-up rabbit into the house, gave it a bath, blow-dried its fur, and put it back in the cage in his neighbor's garage, hoping that they would think that it died of natural causes. Well, a few days later, his neighbor called across the hedge to the guy, and he said, "Hey, did you hear that Fluffy died?" Well, the guy stammered around a bit and said, No, what happened?" Well, the neighbor replied, "We just found him dead in his cage one day. But you know, the weird thing is that the day after we buried him, we went out into the garage and someone had dug him up, given him a bath, and put him back into the cage." There's some real strange people out there.
I have that visual of the guy blow drying the rabbit for the rest of today. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But, you know, dogs are known for that.
Yes, they will do that. Yes, I used to have some dogs myself. Yeah. You have a pet that you just absolutely love.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny, too, because I have a story about that. We moved into our house. This was many years ago, and brought the dog out, and he's out there roaming around while I'm tending to some of the flower beds. And next thing I know, I turn around, I'm looking for the dog, and here he comes up the driveway. Got a groundhog in his mouth.
Oh! At that point, you're like, I don't know if I should tell him. So what should I tell him?
I already knew.
Don't bring that in the house.
My wife was there, and she was just disgusted.
Uh-huh.
And I was so proud because he was a lab beagle mix.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, I was so proud of him. He put it down at my feet
here's a housewarming gift. Lunch. I brought you lunch.
Well, my wife went in the house, and I'm saying, oh, good boy, good. I was so proud of him.
I had one that used my cats used to catch birds, and my one, I had a little Jack Russell Terrier. I'm sleeping one night, and I felt something. I was like just rolling. He used to sleep on the bed with me. He had buried this dead bird under the pillow. I didn't discover it till I was in the middle of sleeping. I was like,
hello.
Oh! Yeah, I know. And I threw it outside. He goes running outside, wants to bring it back in the house. I'm like, eh. Either you sleep outside with the bird or you come in the house, but there's no other choice. There's no choice three.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, love dogs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good companions.
Yes.
And speaking about companions, you know, a lot of people, when they reach retirement age, they think about moving to another country. There's a lot of Americans who have decided to do that. They decide to either retire in places overseas, like maybe Ireland or Germany or France, or some people move south, maybe to Ecuador, Belize, or Venezuela, and they decide to take on a little bit of an adventure. Well, one of the articles I read this week was quite interesting, talking about that, on how people will do this, and basically taking it from an emotional side as far as the slant of the story and really what goes on. And just kind of a, for your information, if you were to decide to do this, of course, there's a lot of planning that goes into it. You're going to, particularly with the internet today, do a lot of research. You know, what's the economy like? What's the cost of living like? You know, how close will I be to maybe an airport or the interstate? How's the health care and medical services? And what kind of, you know, am I going to be able to live on an ocean front, or am I going to live in a beautiful scenery like maybe somewhere in Austria or Germany, or maybe will I have some of that Italian history because I'm going to live somewhere there? All of these things are very important, and there's a lot of planning that goes into it. But I think that most people are unaware of what happens to the majority of people once they make this move, and it pretty much is a panic moment. What did I just do? And for a lot of people, it's going to be in the first couple of months that they take place. It could be as long as a year after you move, but you have this panic of what did I do? Why did I make this move? Because first of all, you know, reality sets in. You may think that you're familiar with the people, but you may find that things are different. I move, you know, you move to Ireland. Next thing you know, you're in the middle of an Irish winter, not realizing how short the days are and how gloomy the weather could be. Or you're down south in Ecuador or Belize, and you realize that all your neighbors only speak Spanish. You just never know. And so what the article says is that this will happen to most people. You have to remember why you moved there. Was it the nice climate? Was it being able to be by the ocean? Was it being able to be on the countryside with the beautiful scenery and mountains in the background? What was your reason for moving there? And sure enough, given a little bit of time, you'll work your way through it and really appreciate the reasons why you moved there in the first place. Those will come back. Those will be enjoyed. And all of the anxiety will, well, it'll dissipate and disappear. So just kind of a little bit of an interesting story, because when people do move, they will go through this, and now they can be prepared for it and understand it will pass, and they will enjoy their new surroundings. And another thing I wanted to get into, having to do with IRAs, as people look to IRAs. Here's a different slant on IRAs a little bit. And this article had to do with some of the common IRA mistakes. For example, a lot of people will live only for today. They're buying things, they're spending money, and what they're not doing is they're not putting away money into their IRA. You know, there's a big difference when people start putting money away at 20 as opposed to 30. You're literally giving up hundreds of thousands of dollars because of the time value of growth and money. You must contribute to an IRA and make it a regular event each and every year. And now with the rules being as liberal as they are, you can continue to make contributions to a Roth IRA no matter how old you are, because more and more people are going back to work or staying in the workplace well into their 70s, even 80s, even 90s. And as long as you have earned income, you can contribute to a Roth IRA. Traditional IRAs are going to stop at 70 and a half, but with your Roth IRAs, you can continue to put money into them. By using an IRA, if you don't contribute, you're also missing tax-free growth. That is the purpose of what IRAs give to you. If you have a traditional IRA, it's going to be tax-deferred growth. If you have a Roth IRA, it will be tax-free growth. And there's two very big differences. Both will allow you to contribute $5,500 in 2014 if you're under the age of 50, $6,500 if you're 50 or older. And what you'll find is with some traditional IRAs, depending on what your company offers and your income, you may be able to use it as a tax deduction. Then it will become 100% taxable when you start to take the money out. A Roth IRA, you're using pre-tax dollars, and everything that grows over the ensuing years will always be tax-free once you take it out. And you're also looking at some things when it comes to an IRA. Don't mess up on your RMDs, your required minimum distributions that you're required to take beginning at age 70 and a half. A couple of rules when it pertains to that. You do not have to take that contribution the day that you turn 70 and a half, or you don't have to take that contribution before the day you turn 70 and a half. What you have to do is once you turn 70 and a half, you are required to take a distribution. Now, let me give you the actual ins and the outs. The year in which you turn 70 and a half, and let's say that that was 2014, your first distribution actually by law does not have to be taken until April 1st of the following year. But then you still have to take a second one by the end of the year. So what most people do the year that they turn 70 and a half is you take your first distribution that year. Now, your first distribution is a percentage of what your previous value was on December 31st of the previous year. So you turned 70 and a half in 2014. What was your IRA worth on December 31st of 2013? You multiply that by 3.65%, and that's the amount that you have to take out. Now, if you have five IRAs, you could take out 3.65% out of each of the five IRAs. Or you can total up the total amount that you should take out, and you can take it out of one of the IRAs or two of the IRAs. The government does not care, the IRS. They just want to make sure that you take the full dollar amount that is required to come out. This way you pay your income tax on it. You'll get a 1099 in January, and they get their tax revenues. Now, this is very important to the IRS because they have put a pretty hefty penalty on there if you do not take your required minimum distribution out. That penalty, 50%. If you're required to take out $1,000 this year and you don't, well, you're going to be required to still take out your $1,000, pay the taxes on there, and you'll be incurring a $500 penalty for not taking it out by December 31st. Also, some people accidentally contribute too much to an IRA during the year. We just gave you the limits, $5,500 if you're under 50 and $65 if you're 50 or older. There's a 6% penalty if you file your income taxes and have paid too much into your IRAs, contributed. The best thing to do is to realize it before you file, take it back out. No harm, no foul. There's nothing that's going to be required. Government's not going to penalize you, tax you, or put any type of penalty on you. So you have to be very careful. And now you have to be even more careful with your rollovers. One of the problems that can happen when you do a rollover in an IRA is that it might not go into the right type of account. For example, if the right boxes aren't checked, your IRA may go into just a plain non-qualified brokerage account. Well, that makes your whole IRA taxable for that year then. You just have to make sure it goes into the same type of account. Therefore, it is a non-taxable event. And with the new laws going into effect on January 1st, you will be able to do as many trustee-to-trustee transfers of IRAs that you want, but you'll be allowed only one 60-day rollover in a year. Otherwise, it will be considered a distribution. And don't forget, when you're setting up your IRAs, of attending to the beneficiaries. The beneficiaries are very important to put on there because then the money will go directly as you want. Don't involve your will. It is the beneficiaries that will take precedence. If you don't put a beneficiary, which, by the way, on an IRA are required, then it would go to your estate, it would go through probate, and your heirs would miss out on some of the tax benefits. So now you know a little bit more about IRAs. Hopefully you won't make any of the mistakes. Save money, do your transfers right, tend to your beneficiaries, you'll be okay.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back on this Saturday morning. No, we didn't forget. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. I hope you're by your phones, have those fingers exercised and ready to go, because we're going to take caller number 2, 330-370-1590. That's 330-370-1590. And as we get our caller for the contest this week, I wanted to let you know of a little change that we're going to make in the contest. We thought we'd spice it up a little bit. As you know currently, just by being the contestant for the contest, what we do is we give you breakfast at Bob Evans. I ask you three multiple choice questions. And if you get all three, well, then we move you into the bonus round with one more question and an opportunity to win a second breakfast at Bob Evans. Well, this is what we're going to do to spice things up a little bit here. For being our contestant, you're going to get breakfast at Bob Evans. These cards, by the way, are worth $10. That's a good breakfast at Bob Evans. But what we're going to do is if you get all three questions correct, which moves you into the bonus round, you know, a lot of times people don't get the question answered correctly, and so therefore they don't get the second card. Well, I feel if you get all three questions correct, well, what we're going to do, instead of a $10 breakfast card, we're going to give you a $15 breakfast card. So if you win, if you get all three right, but you miss the bonus question, you'll get a $15 gift card. If you get all three right and you get the bonus question correct, well, then you'll get two $10 cards. So kind of spice things up a little bit here. So let's go ahead and get to our contestant. Sandy, who's our contestant?
We have Elsie on the line. Elsie, you're on the air.
Elsie, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Doing fine, huh? Are you ready for these questions?
I can hardly hear him, ma'am.
Can you hear me okay now?
I can hardly hear him.
Oh, I don't know how to make you hear him better.
I can hear the best I can, so I can... Okay. I can hear him a little bit.
Okay.
All right, Elsie. Let's see if we can... Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you all right now.
Okay. Elsie, you just bought a new home with a 30-year mortgage. Now, you have a 760 FICO score, which is a very good score. What are you going to pay in an interest rate? 3.97%. 4.16% or 4.27%. You just bought a home today with a 30-year mortgage and have a 760 FICO score, what are you going to pay in an interest rate according to the Wall Street Journal? 3.97, 4.16, or 4.27%? What do you think?
I think the second one.
4.16?
Yes.
Oh, Elsie, you'd be paying too much. Actually, 3.97%. We saw interest rates fall back a little bit this past week. My next question for you is, on Monday, you are traveling over to Japan. How many yen are you going to get for every one U.S. dollar? Are you going to get 88, 108, or 118 yen for every U.S. dollar? 88, 108, or 118? What do you think?
The first one.
88?
Yes.
Oh, Elsie, you wouldn't be getting enough. The dollar has gotten very strong over the past few months, and we're at a 7-year high with the yen. You would actually get 118 yen for every U.S. dollar. And my last question for you, a lot of times you'll hear on the news with the stock market what the P&E is, the price-to-earnings ratio. And what you see is historically we've been around 15. In the bubble of 2000, we actually saw the P&Es get up as high as 30, 32. What I want to know is what is the current trailing P&E ratio for the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Is it 16.9, 17.1, or 18.3? What is the current trailing P&E ratio of the Dow Jones? 16.
The first one.
You're absolutely correct.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Didn't strike out, did you? You got one out of three.
Okay,
is that good?
That's good.
Well, I want to thank you for being our contestant and hope you enjoyed yourself. We will be sending you out your card for breakfast to Bob Evans, and thanks for being part of the show today.
Thank you very much.
All righty. You have a nice weekend.
You too, Richard.
All righty. And with that, she got one out of three. We'll give her $10 gift card to Bob Evans, but hopefully you'll have a little bit more fun, a little more to aspire here when you call in, become part of the contest every Saturday. Again, being our contestant, a $10 gift card for breakfast. If you get all three right but miss the bonus question, you'll get a $15 breakfast gift card. And if you do get all three right and get the bonus, well, we'll give you two $10 cards. So add a little bit of spice. And, you know, only a third of Americans describe themselves as very happy, but these people seem to have some of the same attributes about them. And they are that happy people savor it. The old cliches of like stopping to smell the roses and it's the little things in life, well, they're so true. Happy people don't compare themselves to other because it really doesn't matter. Happy people are very grateful. Happy people don't rehash the past. Happy people meditate. Happy people find their own definition of happiness. Happy people hang with other happy people. Happy people eat well. And with that, another show's come to an end. It's been a pleasure sharing the past hour with you. Give us a call at Capital Financial Group. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks for having us in today. We'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.